gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
Smell that? It smells like Up Dog.
What's Up Dog?
Nothing much, man. So are you? All right. Let's get started.
And what was that? Can someone please explain to me what that was?
Wow! What a way to start a football game. I got goosebumps.
All right. Welcome to week 13. It's the last week of the regular season for our fantasy season. It's another week of rematches, this time from week 2. Week 12 was pretty crazy. Some good ups and downs. Three teams that had the longest odds of making the playoffs actually got locked into that constipation bracket, as well as two teams that were going to be on the pod tonight are also locked into their bye week spots, now just battling to see who gets the overall number one, or maybe if they want that number two seed. Interesting. At 7-5, also in the playoffs, are Marcus and Recreation. That's Duncan, keeping a hold of that number three spot pretty well. Number four seed is Luke, saved by Lev Bell. And then at the five spot is Austin, bend it like Beckham Jr. The six and six logjam is real. It's moved on from the 5-5 logjam a couple weeks ago. That's myself, Tim, and Fronik are now holding on hope for that number six seed to likely get ran by Duncan in the playoffs. And it's another week where there isn't a true knockout game for any team. Even the last place spot is still up for grabs. Again, I want to reiterate this now. The team in last place in the regular season and the team in last place of the Constellation Bracket will have to split the cost of shipping for the trophy to the winner. It's also a good time to remind people there was a $30 buy-in for this. We voted on it in the Facebook group. I'm not exactly sure how the money's going to be split up when we decide who wins or loses. Now to the matchups. We welcome in Scott. He's locked into the number one spot coming off of a surprise loss to Pip. But bigger things came from last Sunday as well, especially Derek Carr's win with the Raiders, as well as the ninth episode of Westworld coming out. We now welcome in Chief Co-Pilot Host in Sackworld, Scott, to the pod. How are you doing, Scott?
Buenos dias, Rick. Doing well.
All right. So, do you want to start or end with Westworld talk, or just kind of throw it in throughout the middle here?
I'll throw it in.
Okay. Yeah, we'll play around with it then. Let's get started with Andrew versus Luke. That is Gurley, You Can't Be Serious versus Saved by Lev Bell. It's honestly one of the least important matchups this week, as Luke is going to be in the playoffs unless myself, Tim, and Fronik make up the respective 83, 117, and 175-point lead. Luke has all of us. And he also has to lose to Andrew, as he did in week two. Andrew is locked into the bottom four, now just going to have to battle it out to not finish in last place, as he is the lowest scoring team in the league, so any tiebreakers are not going to go in his favor. Last week, Luke got an important win over roommate Brandon. He needed the Eagles to have not the biggest fantasy defensive performance of the season to lose, while his first week without Gio Bernard Lowe, AJ Greenmile, and 25 from Emmanuel Sanders knocked out his roommate from the playoffs. Andrew's got his fourth win of the season.
R.I.P.
Yeah. His fourth win of the season keeps him alive from getting last place with a win over Jared. Really was a bad week from Jared, a low score for the week, rather than a good week from Andrew, who barely got over 103 points. This week, Andrew has to deal with byes yet again. It's surprising. It's week 13. And Luke is looking again to get some roster spots filled with many question marks, doubtfuls, and guys on IR. He's really been one of the most frequently hurt teams in our league this season. So, Scott, you've dug deep into the coding for these two hosts. What storyline do you think you're going to be put through this week?
Well, unfortunately, it's going to be another storyline where Luke wins big, I think. Lev Bell's really saving him at the bell here as we get down to the last week of the season.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right. It doesn't have too much impact on anybody else. Andrew, we're rooting for you to keep Jordan in the cellar by himself.
Very true. Very important.
As Luke's pretty much in with a win or a loss, like you said. I don't know. What are you thinking?
I'm really interested to see what happens with Julian Edelman this week against the Rams, seeing as they shut down Brandon Cooks.
Not.
Oh, you're not. Okay. I'll move on to my next thing then, because you're not excited about Brandon Cooks going for zero targets. And Julian, you did trade away Julian in. So maybe just like put the phone down for a couple seconds.
Yeah. That's what I meant. Like, keep going.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to be interested to see if the Rams decide to go with the same process, considering last week they put up -8 fantasy points, as well as really just kind of struggled overall playing defense against Drew Brees. They face another elite quarterback in Tom Brady this week. Obviously, less offensive weapons for Brady to throw to. I think it opens the door for Martellus Bennett, Hogan, maybe even Amendola to have bigger weeks. This isn't going to have a major impact on Luke's team because his team is that much better. T.Y. Hilton with a great matchup against the Jets. Emmanuel Sanders, a pretty decent matchup against Jacksonville. Again, Emmanuel had a very big week last week, his first 20-point performance since week 3 against Cincinnati. Also, the last time he got over 100 yards receiving. My lock of the week is Matty Stafford goes for at least 25 against the Saints. And then looking at Andrew's team, it's been a rough, long season for Andrew. Yeah. I think Green Bay's defense is so bad that actually I think DeAndre Hopkins has a good week this week. I think Matt playing football is my forte as an RB2 with DeSean Jackson going to a flex is a good play this week. Jackson with 2 touchdown catches in as many games. And like you said right off the top, it's going to be Luke. It's going to be big. I've got him by 15.
Yeah, I'm going in a similar way. I mean, he's just hoping that A.J. Green gets healthy this week so he doesn't have to play Tyrell Williams. You know, Tyrell Williams, I'm really confused by San Diego's wide receiver core because I never know who's going to score there. I mean, I guess it's been Tyrell the last few weeks. I haven't really looked at the stats, but I mean, T.Y., Julian, and A.J. would be a pretty mean playoff matchup for someone like me who's going to be in the playoffs.
Right, exactly. We'll get to you in the playoffs later. I've got some pretty important questions that need to be answered. Next up for that matchup, we just kind of got out of the way, is Austin versus Fronik. Bend it like Beckham Jr. versus Hokeback Mountain. Let's get
huge.
Back. Yeah, it's the matchups that mean something this week. Austin is almost locked into the playoffs, but a loss like the 2-point loss he took in week 2 to Fronik could actually put both of them out of the playoffs at 7-6.
No, that'd be dope.
Depending on what happens with Tim's matchup and my matchup, Austin essentially could miss the playoffs because of how low scoring a team he is. So this matchup could be the closest thing to a win and you're in this week. Someone else is going to have to check the stats and the calculations to see if I'm off here or not. But essentially, Austin loses. Fronik, myself, and Tim all win. So we're all at 7-6. And Austin is actually the lowest scoring team out of everyone that's 7-6. He's the third lowest scoring team in the league. So that definitely is not going to help him if he has to get into the playoffs. So this really, for Austin, it is a win and you're in. It's a must-win matchup. Austin missed putting last week by putting up a week low by 0.4 of a point. Really only a good week from Jordan Reed. He got 0 targets, 0 points from Brandon Cooks, where the Saints scored 49. That was absolutely incredible. As well as the Rams defense, who put up -8. Fronik last week as well got a really nice 69.9 from Big Ben, Devontae Freeman, and LeSean McCoy combined, overcoming his first round bust, the Gronk, putting up a 0. This week, Cooks is looking to rebound and get on the board against the Lions. Brady takes on the Rams, and Fronik is hoping that the hole in the Gronk's lung has sealed up or whatever his back is doing to be healthy as well, to have to avoid playing Fedora Dick. And the return of Sammy Watkins as well. Do you see a repetition of the storyline from week 2 playing itself out this week as well?
Who'd you say won in week 2, Fronik?
It was Fronik by 2 points.
2 points, wow. Fronik would have been in the playoffs. I would have been the other way around, I guess, if Austin would have won. Well, I'm not sure here. It could go really either way. I'm excited to see if Gronk plays because that's going to be a huge factor. I mean, I guess you want Gronk if you have Brady, but also maybe you don't want Gronk to play if he's playing you. And then, he's got Eli Manning, so that, I mean, for me, that I'm leaning more Fronic on this one. Even with Eli on the bench, that's got to affect him somehow, you know, just a little morale. Rams were bad last week, didn't play good football. And New England isn't really a bad team, so if the Saints can do it, I'm pretty sure New England can do it too. I'm looking for Fronic by 10 here.
Interesting. Yeah, I looked at this one, and this matchup might be some of the biggest names that you've got. I mean, Brady, Roethlisberger, Martin, Hill, McCoy.
All the stars.
It's all the stars. It's like if Dancing with the Stars actually brought out the stars, but it is actually a lot like Dancing with the Stars, as I'm working through this analogy in my head right now, in that it's a lot of big names from the past that are showing up now that aren't necessarily having big seasons. Tom Brady and Roethlisberger aside, maybe also LeSean McCoy, he's not really a star of the past. But it's a lot of guys that have just kind of come in that you are used to them having big weeks, and they haven't been having big weeks. I mean, Jordan Reed and the Gronk are both questionable, which leaves possibly Jesse James and CJ Fedorowicz coming in. It's very interesting. In the end, I think this matchup comes down, especially on Fronic's side, to the Buffalo Oakland game. If that game becomes all defense, and Buffalo's defense shows up on the road where Oakland plays poorly, I think that hurts Fronic as well. What was that?
That's not true. Oakland plays well on the road.
Yeah, it's a home game for Oakland.
Oh, okay. I thought you said they played poorly on the road. Sorry.
No, well, I was saying it's on, like, Buffalo's defense has to play on the road, and Oakland has to play well at home, which is what they normally don't do.
Right.
Okay.
Sorry.
We're on the same page here. I don't know if Sammy Watkins is going to have a big week. Michael Crabtree actually had a big week after I said he probably wouldn't, and he had been having bad weeks. He put up 15. Watkins in his first game since week two put up 80 receiving yards, so obviously he's going to be used a lot as well in this one. Also, what do you think of the play Austin's going with right now? No Stephon Diggs. They're going up against a tough Dallas team. On a Thursday night, which actually for the first time isn't on a short week because they both played on Thursday night the week before. What do you think about sitting Stephon Diggs against the Dallas defense? It's just kind of okay against the pass, even though it is on a Thursday night compared to, say, Jarvis Landry or Deion Lewis.
Right. I think you start Jarvis Landry, and I think it's between Diggs and Deion. I like this play a lot. You got Deion going against a Rams defense that looks kind of bad, as I just said. If you can play Eli in that flex spot, that'd be good too. But I like the play. You don't like him? You like Diggs?
I don't know. I think Landry's got 9 receptions in 2 weeks. He's only gotten, 28 and 47 in those 2 weeks compared to Diggs, who missed last week because he was injured, but, he went on a target machine. Dallas isn't that great against the pass, while, Deion Lewis is kind of coming in as a pass-catching back, third down role. LeGarrette Blount at home really likes to just pose for pictures with the Minutemen, so you think he's going to be motivated to score a lot. I think I would move out Deion Lewis from this one, but that's just me. I think in the end, really the big key is that Buffalo-Oakland game for Fronic. And then I think playing the Rams defense while also starting two Patriots, I don't think is the right play. And I think either of these teams either both have the highest scores of the week, or they both end up with the lowest scores of the week, battling it out to just see who barely scores enough to beat the other one. I'm going to end.
That's just facts.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Fronic by less than a handful. Either way, either high scoring or low scoring, I think Fronic pulls this one off and kind of keeps chaos alive.
Fronic by a handful, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. I'm on board with that. Also, it's kind of interesting game to play. How many players are in this matchup from Pitt's draft? You have Jarvis, Landry over here, and you also have, who was it? Blake Bortles, I believe you drafted.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And, Fronik, I guess, or Pips made a couple trades with Fronik as well. So it's, essentially, it's like Pips' team, if he decided not to be awful and had kept his players, if he had decided to win, it's like.
He decided to be awful.
Right.
That's how it goes.
That is true. So who are you picking in that one? Is it Fronik?
Yeah, I got Fronik by 10.
Okay. All right, and finally, our last matchup is Scott versus Duncan. That is Fulhauschka versus Marcus in Recreation. Back in week two, it was the previous two highest scoring teams of the week that were going to match up against each other, and you blew Duncan out of the water, 152-83. This is where we all realized that maybe Duncan's team, his first week, was kind of an anomaly, and then he decided to be like the second highest scoring team in the league. He might be first. I got to double check that. Last week,
I think he's first, yeah.
Yeah. Last week, you lost to Pip. You split the season series between the two of you. Was it worth losing essentially just to see the Raiders win?
Oh yeah. Anytime you can sacrifice a fantasy win for a Raiders win, I'm always going to take the Raiders win, you know, but, ideally I can get both.
Right. Very true. And Duncan is the, number one scoring team in the league. So I'm sorry I slighted you for number two, Duncan. I meant no harm. This week, Duncan is missing out on future Oregon head coach Marcus Mariota on a bye, possibly a concussed Andrew Luck on Monday night. And with your squad's competing quarterbacks for MVP contenders, Matty Ice and Derek Carr, you're going to have to choose between one of those. A line from Westworld here. Scott, analysis. What do you see in this matchup?
Oh, I was doing the face that they do when you say analysis, but you can't see me, so that joke doesn't really work. But, it's going to be a tough one. I saw that I might, if I get the number one spot, I might match up with Marcus in Recreation in the next round if he's able to get through the next round. Or that might be, he might be in the lower half of the bracket, I'm not sure. I don't want to face Duncan in the playoffs, really. It's a poor matchup for me. Anybody's a poor matchup for me when you're starting Kenny Britt as your number one. I like my team still a lot. I got TJ Yeldon in there this week with DeMarco on a bye. And I'm deciding not to start A-Rob against the Denver defense. I see Duncan winning this one by 5 to 10 points. 169-159.
Interesting. Before we get to my analysis, just real quick here, what would you do if you're Duncan here? You're working, obviously you can't play Marcus because he's on a bye, unless you want to take a huge risk and you start Marcus with a bye and maybe hope he still ends up playing like an MVP in like 3 years.
If you're a real Ducks fan, you'll start him. That's all I want to say.
Or what do you do with Andrew Luck? I mean, what's your backup plan here? I mean, some quarterbacks that are on waivers, Ryan Tannehill, the elite Joe Flacco, check down Alex Smith. They're all decent options this week. If Luck can't go, he plays on Monday night. So you kind of want to be able to pick a backup early, or you just kind of assume Luck's going to play. I mean, do you try and reanimate or regenerate a new Marcus Mariota and put him on a different team? Or do you make a healthy, unconcussed Andrew Luck and you hope you can throw him out there?
I thought you were going to say that you wanted to reanimate Frankenstein or something. I thought you were going with some sort of analogy like that.
No, like the robots you create people in Westworld. Like, do you create another Marcus to play this week, or do you create another Andrew Luck this week?
Right. I don't even like that show, so.
Okay, I'm
just
sorry.
Kidding. I do.
Put
I
all
do.
That effort into, like, three puns, and it just you didn't even notice two of them.
Yeah, I'm not a real fan. I go with the waiver wire. I think Andrew Luck's a host. I don't think he's going to be really in the game. He's still going to be hurt, and if he does play, it's going to be just as good as any of those guys on the waiver. So I say you waiver wire this one.
Interesting.
And I don't know if you saw, but Melvin Gordon is projected for like 20 points. I mean, I guess that's fine against Tampa Bay, but I'm so tired of seeing Zeke and Melvin Gordon do well. I'm just going to say it. I'm so tired of it. Like, it'd be worse if my team was really bad, but they haven't been that bad, so I don't really mind that much, but it's kind of frustrating. Everyone thought Zeke and Melvin were such reaches, and here they are averaging like 20 points a game, which is shitty for all of us.
Yeah, that is really unfortunate that somehow Duncan lands both of those guys. I mean, obviously used Elliott with his first round pick, but then to pick up Melvin Gordon, and we all assume he's going to be just terrible, and then he turns out being good, that's the pick of the year right there, is Melvin Gordon. I think that's been, we all laughed at Duncan basically when he drafted him, just like, what is he doing? I mean, Pip had to take that massive gym pull last week because he said Melvin Gordon and Zeke Elliott would both be bad. That's just been phenomenal foresight by Duncan. He might be from the future. We're going to have to check into that later. We're going to have to keep testing him just to see if he knows what's going to happen. In this matchup, I think it comes down to Carolina and the Seattle game on Sunday night for Duncan. You as well having Greg Olsen in that one. MVP Cam needs to show up, I think, to keep Carolina in this one. I think the Seahawks defense could get a lot of sacks, possibly some turnovers in this. And also their defense isn't that great, and that opens things up for Doug Baldwin and Thomas Rawls to have some big weeks. And then looking at your team, obviously having to start TJ Yeldon with DeMarco Murray on a bye is unfortunate because we could add essentially the top four backs in the league kind of going up against each other. Also, Lamar Miller is questionable because he had, I believe he came off late with an injury last week against the Chargers. So looking at the matchup, looking at the wide receivers that you've got, again, like you said, you got to start Kenny Britt as your one. I really only like
Gold.
That's true. You don't have to. You could start Robinson. You've made that decision, so that's your choice, right?
Yeah, Kenny Britt can either go for 30 or go for zero. So, Kenny Britt's my guy, and we're sticking with him, right?
All right. That's fair. All that said, I really only like Golden Tate for your wide receivers. I like your two tight end train rolling into stop 13 for the season. And I think it's going to be a close one. You said 169 to 159. I'm saying more of 169 to 164. So I'm taking Duncan by five.
Yeah. All right. I would actually like to revise mine. I think I didn't realize I had TJ Yeldon in there. I forgot I did. So I think I'm scoring more around the 70 mark this week. Yeah, it's not going to be good. Although I'll tell you a little insight into my camp. We're looking for the two spot right now, actually. Wouldn't it be mad if the two spot? We still get a bye, but no pressure.
Okay, so, yeah, I was going to formally ask one last question. You and Jared are both battling it out for the one seed. You're tied for first, essentially. But do you want to be at the top of the bracket, or would you rather be that number two team at the bottom of the bracket where you would essentially avoid Duncan, who might have a bye if he plays me next week because he's probably going to destroy me again like he did 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I'd rather not play Luke or Duncan. I'd rather get one of the 6-6 teams right now that are trying to get in, if I'm going to be completely honest. Or I would rather play Jordan. Oh, wait. Jordan's not in the playoffs? Oh. Jordan's not in the playoffs? Can you confirm that for me?
Yes, I can confirm that. Actually, looking at standings, he has locked himself currently into dead last place.
Nice.
He is a full game back of the teams that are tied for 11th.
Is that good?
Not always, no.
Not always,
No, always last is bad. Always last.
Always last. First is worst. Best.
I think first is best. Last is bad. I don't know. I don't think there's a rhyme there.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, thank you, Scott, for jumping on real quick. Sorry we had to speed through that. Go enjoy rewatching Westworld for the 15th time, just enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I will. Gonna watch it a few more times before the finale next week. All right, Rick, talk to you later.
Well, thanks, Scott, and now we welcome in Jared back to the pod. He's the number two team in the league after a disappointing loss, but still going strong at 9-3. Jared, how you doing?
Why am I the number two? How am I not number one?
I don't know. You are just your number two.
I would say that Scott and I are tied for first. You could lead me in that way if you want to redo that.
Well, the tiebreaker is points scored, and Scott is ahead of you. So, I mean, you look at the standings, and you are in second place. If the playoffs were going into this week, you would be the number two team.
Oh, all right. I guess that makes sense.
So that's
doing well, Rick. How are you?
That's why you're tied first. I'm glad you're doing well. Me too. Let's get to these matchups here. Albeit they are some of the closer matchups, they carry a little bit more weight than some of the others. I thought we would see a little bit more wildness last week with some of those 3-8 teams making a playoff push. But we've actually got a chance now that a team that's been in the playoff picture all season could actually miss out on the playoffs. We're looking at a pretty wild week 13. To the matchups, we're going to start with Tim versus Pip. That is Daenerys Targaryen versus Kars 4. Pip has been eliminated from the playoffs, even though he won against Scott last week. Back in week 2, he lost with a week low of 81 to Tim. So he's looking to even things up with Tim after Tim beat Jordan last week, ending the hopes of a massive chaos theory for us all. Even a mid-game name change for Jordan wasn't enough to make the difference for him last week. For this week in week 13, Tim needs a win to keep his hopes of making the playoffs alive, and Pip is hoping to avoid finishing in last place. Tim is working with a full roster minus Tajay Sharpe and Pip, again, full squad minus Rashard Matthews. Is it possible for a spoiler potential for Pip this week, and what do you like in the matchup?
I don't think so. Not this week. Well, actually, this is the last week, so no, I don't see that happening. When it comes to Tim last week, you know, obviously he put up 142 points, the second highest score. That's really good for him. AB had 3 touchdowns. Obviously, that's good for any wide receiver. Pretty average for AB, though, I'd say. Giants D gave him 22 points. That's what you get when you can pick defenses that are starting against Cleveland. 8 out of his, let's see here. Yeah, no, it was Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers had a super good game. Even though the media wants to make you believe that he's not doing that well, 8 out of his 11 games, he scored over 20 points. 5 of them have been over 25. He's power rank number 1, but literally the only thing you hear about in the media is how bad the Packers are. Antonio Gates put up an egg, which is tough. He's got Ladarius Green on his bench. He put up 7.2. It's good to see him back, coming back from his concussion problems. Enema's pretty boom or bust, but he let that sit on his bench, which I don't blame him. It makes sense. Pip on the other side for last week. Average week, 107. I mean, in this league, that's pretty average, but obviously that was enough for the win because Scott had a below-average week.
Very below average.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, I can't talk that much because I scored less than Scott, so I'm just going to say below average. 32 points from Breeze. You know, obviously that's pretty standard for Breeze, but huge for any other quarterback. Rawls, super disappointing, only 3.8 points. The whole Seahawks team was super disappointing. I was watching that game pretty closely because of Evans and Russell, so that game was pretty shitty, to say the least. Dolphins D put up only 1 point against San Francisco. San Francisco surprisingly has a lot of fantasy value. We'll talk more about Kaepernick when we get to Brandon, though. Ingram on his bench went off for 29. Talk about boom or bust. After the bye, the point totals that Ingram has gone for has been 7, 14, negative 1, then 30, then 7.3, then 9, then 29. So I know, you know, it's tough for Pip to try to figure out when he should start him when he's not. He's in the starting lineup this week. I think that's a good option. What else we got here? Going back over to Tim. Tim has 5 players versus 4 players in the red when it comes to opponent ranking. What makes it even tougher is that all 4 of Tim's green matchups were his lowest scores last week with Theo Riddick, Moncrief, Sproles, and Novak. So that doesn't really bode too well for Tim. Nothing really on his bench that he could try to spell any of those people with besides with Darius Green, which I'm sure he'll start. Actually, I don't even know. He's still got Gates in. So we'll see what he does with that. Pip this week, he's got 6 in the green and 5 in the red. So pretty standard. But the number 1 and number 2 wide receiver and running backs for him are all in the red. So that's even worse than Tim's scenario. Breeze is playing against Detroit. So expect another 30 spot for them, I would say. I'll put a lock on that. And a little fun fact here. 2 of Pitt's starters are started in less than 1% of all ESPN fantasy leagues. So I don't know what that says about Pitt.
Is it?
Or if it more just said, You, I guess. Who do you think it is?
I'm guessing one of them is for sure Marquise Wilson.
Yeah.
And the other, I'm guessing, is J.J. Nelson.
You are correct with both of those. Both of those are less than 1% started in all the ESPN leagues. So I think that says less about Pip and more about how tough this league is. I feel like we should all give ourselves a pat on the back for how deep we have to go in some of this shit.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you listen to some of the fantasy shows, like the one we have on 95.3 The Score on Saturday nights and Sunday mornings at 8, and all these guys are talking about, like, yeah, I don't know, this week, you know, I've got Antonio Brown and Kelvin Benjamin, and then in my flex, I've also got a tie between, you know, Mark Ingram and possibly Carlos Hyde. I guess if you could pick two for those guys, who do you like this week? And it's like, why are you playing in a five-man league? Like, that doesn't sound fun. I mean, I think our league is pretty standard for 12. I think we're a little bit different because we do have the three wide receivers. But yeah, like I think some of these leagues, like, people are either in 8-man leagues with, you know, one quarterback, running back, a wide receiver, and a flex, and like that's it. Or they're in like 37-man leagues, and the roster is you get a quarterback or a running back, and you just need to pick one. It's just pretty ridiculous.
Absolutely, and not to divulge any information of where I get my pickups from or information from, hot takes from. Basically, even when I dig super deep into fantasy, you know, just different sites that are pretty obscure and stuff, they still show, like, even, you know, oh, you got to pick up this player this week. Oh, well, he was drafted in our league. You know what I mean?
He's edge.
So it makes it super tough. I think by far our league is one of the most competitive leagues that I've ever been a part of. Absolutely. But who do you think is going to win this week?
In this matchup, I'm looking at Tim, and he's got a really decided wide receiver advantage, and I think they carry him. Kelvin Benjamin really is the only guy who's got a tough matchup that could have a bad week. Last week, two receptions, and one of them was for a touchdown. Benjamin's just had a really disappointing year, as I may go down, but just really not been the same. Five receptions in 2 weeks. He's barely getting over 50 yards on the season, averaging only 11 points. And that's really kind of the only down spot that I've got on Tim's roster. Gates is kind of a toss-up if he's going to play or not, I guess, because he did put up that dud last week. I see some washing out in this. I think Rodgers and Breeze both have pretty important matchups going on, or favorable matchups, and I think they kind of wash each other out. I think Rawls and Hyde put up about the same number of points, and they wash each other out. I think Riddick and Arcioda wash each other out. And it comes down to wide receivers. And simply, if you're starting two guys that are 1% or less started in, you know, these leagues, I don't see how you can win with that, considering the guys that he's going up against. Even at flex, I like Sproles a little bit more than Ingram. So I'm going to go with Tim by 11 in this one.
Yeah, I've got Tim by even more. I've got him down 115 to 95. But I think it's more of a combination of Antonio Brown and Aaron Rodgers. Plus, I don't think Thomas Rawls and Carlos Hyde wash each other out. I think Hyde has a much better week, and Riddick has a much better week than projected as well, just coming out of the backfield there against that sorry-ass New Orleans defense.
All right. Next up is myself versus Brandon, the $6 million McAnus against Silence of the Michael Sam. I magically, almost accidentally, put up the league high score for last week. Michael Thomas, the Tank Engine, 9 receptions, 2 touchdowns for 27 points. Randall Korn on the Cobb, 5 receptions, 113 yards, 2 touchdowns for 25, led the way. Julio kind of had an expected dud for me. Jay Stewartoff, as well as my favorite opera singer turned NFL kicker, Justin Tucker, nearly going for 20 as well. It was nothing like my week 2 performance when I got boat raced by Brandon, 143 to 129. Speaking of, Brandon was eliminated by his roommate from the playoffs, as I mentioned. I'm sure that went over well. He needed the performance of the year from the Eagles to get a win after a 33 spot from Colin Kaepernick and 24 from OBJ. He just needed a little bit more. This week, it is a tough matchup for my favorite Panthers, Cam Newton and Jay Stew against the Hawks, while my fantasy stud Cap gets the bear, or sorry, while fantasy stud Cap gets the Bears, and Brandon is sticking with the zero scoring duo of the Eagles and Roberto Aguaco. What say you, Jared, about this one?
Congratulations, Rick, on last week. Quite the performance you put up. You got, obviously, like you said, 147 points, 4 players to go over 20. you really do live and die with that Panthers offense. So if the Panthers offense does well, then you do well because you got Jay Stoon and Cam.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how solid Adams is there in Green Bay. He's the 8th ranked player at his position, and he's scored over 10.7 times this season. He averages 13.9. I literally had no idea. I knew that.
That's
Rodgers is having a good season, but I didn't realize that he was throwing so much to Adams.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers had that bye week early, and they lost Starks and Lacy after that, and all of a sudden it became a pass-only offense, and Devontae Adams has just absolutely gone off. I mean, he's got 6 touchdowns in that stretch, over 100 yards 3 times, 2 games with 2 receptions, with more than 10 or more than 11 receptions in that stretch. He's just absolutely gone off to make himself a solid wide receiver option.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it definitely helps you out when you have Julio, who's so unbelievably boom or bust. I have him in my other league, and it's crazy. He either puts up over 20, or that one game he put up like 40, or he'll put up less than 5. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's no in between. It's more than 15, or it's less than 6. Like, he does one or the other.
Right. Your bench. Oh, just before we get to that, Tucker also put him 19. So, I mean, kicker points, it's tough to factor that in the equation, but, I mean, you score the most amount of points, even though the Cardinals only give you 1 point. So, going over to your bench is pretty much hot garbage, but I'm sure you know that. Besides Jameis Winston,
yes,
who's your backup QB, who's obviously going to put up points because he's a starter in the NFL, the rest of your bench combined just put up over 4 points. So you really are laying it all out on the field with your starters. You really have no other room. I mean, no other ways you can go about it. I'm assuming you're going to run the same exact lineup this week as you did last week. Yes or no?
Yeah, the only thing would be is unless Jeremy Maclin comes out and says I'm 100% healthy and I've talked to Alex Smith and we're going to throw the ball downfield more, or John Brown says he's healthy, like maybe them. I guess I might also think about Eddie Royal going up against the Niners defense at flex over the Fell. But I mean, I'm basically going to stick with the same roster that I blew up with last week. This week, I don't see any reason why I really need the change.
Yeah, I don't see a reason either. Going over to Brandon, 109 points, pretty average, but it's, you got to look a little deeper into this matchup to realize how close he was to winning. Obviously, with the 10 points from the Eagles defense when he started, he was only like, what, a point away? And then the Eagles defense ended up getting him, what was it, -1?
Yeah.
So we all got that snap from Luke. He was calculating how defenses score points. I'm sure he was pretty happy after that first quarter when Adams scored those 2 touchdowns back to back super quickly. Let's see here. OBJ, obviously doing his thing, 24 points last week. Not surprising at all. He's a stud, even though his on the field, not the field antics are kind of ridiculous. Doesn't matter. What he's doing on the field is really good. Cap, surprisingly solid. I think we can stop saying surprising or being, like I said, surprised about it. I think he's a solid fantasy quarterback. I mean, they got really nothing else going on that offense. Carlos Hyde is also a decent running back. Chip Kelly offense is, doing semi-well. It's just that defense is absolutely atrocious. We go back to Terrell Pryor, who we talked about, I think, was it the last time I was on, or was it the, it might have been some of the previous podcasts we talked about Terrell Pryor. It might have been you and Pitt, if I remember correctly.
Maybe.
He put up 16 points. Literally the rest of his team, though, is pretty unnotable. Going to Aguayo, though, we talked so much shit the last time I was on about how he should, switch kickers. And after that week, the next 2 weeks, he put up 10 of 14 points, which is super solid. Then this week he regressed back down to 1 point. He's the 28th ranked kicker. If he would have gotten a solid performance from his kicker this week, who knows what could have happened? If he would have had Justin Tucker like you did, he would have beat Luke and he'd still be in the playoff scenario. So
right.
He's lived and died with Aguayo and he hasn't really lived too much. He's just done a lot of dying this season. If he really doesn't want to have to pay for the sending the trophy at the end of the season, he really needs to think about dropping Aguayo and picking up whatever the best kicker is that's on waivers, which is literally, 3 times better than what he's got right now. Moving on to this week specifically for you've got 6 in the red versus 3 green, which obviously isn't very good, but Julio Jones is facing the worst defense, the 32nd ranked defense. So hopefully this is a boom week for you. And then LaFell has got to start paying dividends. I remember you and Pip talking about how much you paid for him and Shrewd Bucks-wise. He's got to, you know, the whole Cincinnati offense and that team's got to get going. But especially LaFell, he's got to pay dividends for your how much did you pay for him? $25 or something ridiculous like that?
$26. I think I overpaid by 25, maybe 24.
Yeah, that's really bad. He's facing the 22nd ranked defense, though. So if he's got to do something for you if you'd be able to get this, for you to make sure you get the win this week. Moving over back over to Brandon for this week. He picked up Gabriel off of waivers. I see he spent some money on that. That's a solid pickup, I think.
I disagree.
You disagree? Why do you disagree?
I think that he had his, I mean, they ran like wide receiver screens. He had the touchdown catch against Philly that was his only catch for a touchdown where they just sent him on a streak. Basically because the Eagles were doubling Julio and they're like, we need to score. And Gabriel got out there. He is fast. Like, I'll give him that. I don't think he's going to be used as often as he was last week. I think the Falcons got really lucky catching Arizona's defense off like that and kind of, you know, running him out of town. I just think this Kansas City defense is going to be ready for it now. I think Atlanta's played their trick play card. They know teams are going to be able to key in on Gabriel. I think he turns into a like Tavon Austin type where three receiver and an option, they break it loose. But other than like 2 yard catches that end up being like 0.7 of a point, I'm not too worried about that at all.
Well, you say that you're not going to use him much as last week. The three previous weeks, he put up 14, 16, and then 14 points. So even if they don't use him as much as they did last week, he's still going to be projected for over 10. Well, he's actually projected at 9. I would put him at over 10. I think you should worry about him a little more than you're saying. Obviously, don't expect 24, but a solid 10 is well within the range, if not 15. So I would say kudos to Brandon on that. He should have made a lot of other moves this year, but I like that one. Cap and OBJ and Smoke Blunt are all facing red defenses, opponent-ranked defenses, which is not good because those are his main point scorers. And then obviously Terrell Pryor's on bye. Is this the last week? This has got to be the last week for bye weeks, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And then also, when we go to his defense, he still has the defense, Eagles defense, and don't understand that. He just probably hasn't addressed it yet. There's definitely better options on the waiver wire. You, just for Brandon, listen up. I'm going to help you out here. Pick up either the Packers defense versus Houston, because Houston's offense is trash. And then, or, this is even a more stretch, but I still think it's better than the Eagles play, playing Cincinnati, which I think actually has a good week this week. 49ers versus Chicago. Chicago, especially if they don't start, Jay Cutler, make it look like Matt Barkley again or somebody. No, I think the Niners defense is even a better option than the Eagles. But it's going on right now. Pick up the Packers defense, plug that in. Pick up a new kicker, plug that in. And I think this would be the closest game out of the week. But I still have you winning, Rick, by 5 points.
Yeah, to me, another matchup that comes down to Seattle versus Carolina. I really need MVP Cam to kind of show up again. Two years ago, these two teams played. They played in Seattle, and Seattle had that wild comeback. It was like the first week after I traded for Jay Stu, and I made that terrible trade, and he scored like 3 touchdowns. I need that Cam Newton, and I need that Jay Stu to come back. It is their second week on the road on the West Coast. I'm assuming they stayed out west to practice and everything, and they're not going to be flying back again. But to me, if Seattle's defense at home on a Sunday night just has that crowd behind them wanting to get to Cam Newton, wanting to prove that they're the best in the NFC, like it's just going to turn into a passing game, and I think Newton's just going to end up throwing the ball away a lot. But, I mean, if MVP Cam shows up, I think that helps me out. I really like my wide receivers this week. And I think that really ends up being the difference. And I've got myself in a close one, but just by a little bit over Brandon.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, and finally, the last matchup of the week. It is Jared versus Jordan. A Rivers runs through it versus Gabriel, Housewives of Atlanta. Jordan is bringing up the rear in the standings, but the fire from his team names this season have really been better than his own hot takes on his team. See back episode one when he said he was going undefeated to win the league down there in last place. Back in week two, Jordan lost to Jared as you began your own 5-week unbeaten stretch. And last week, Jordan got 46 from his quarterback David Johnson, but no one else broke 10 other than the Chargers defense, which was a ballsy start for Jordan and a typical start of any other guy in last place. Jared, you put up a league low for the week last week as you lost to Andrew. You really could have capitalized on Scott losing and locked up the number one seed, but I guess what happened?
I started the same roster that I've been doing this whole year, basically, and it was a tough week. Going back to my matchup last week, I left 90 points on the bench. Most of that was Tyreek Hill going off, which I don't expect him to do again, but it's still pretty aggravating to see your bench points more than the points that you scored. Obviously, I need more than 10 fantasy points from Russell. That Tampa Bay-Seattle game should have been an absolute shootout instead of a slobber knocker, but it was. That hurt both Mike Evans and Russell. Gore had his first bad game of the season, but I was predicting that. I think most people that have Frank Gore were predicting that. With Andrew Luck out, Tolzien in, and especially with an aggressive defense like Pittsburgh, you knew they were going to load the box because literally the Indianapolis offense only had one option, and it was to run the ball. So I was expecting him to have a bad game. Lo and behold, shit game. Ebron, 0 points. As we all know, tight ends and my Achilles heel this whole season, puts up zero. They're playing the Saints this week, though. So I got high hopes. We'll see what happens there. And riddle me this. How do the Raiders put up 35 points, but Cooper only puts up 4 fantasy points? How does that happen?
They went to the ground game. They went to essentially everybody but Amari Cooper. I mean,
very aggravating.
Yeah.
So that's got to change, obviously. So those things, I feel like that's just – obviously the Russell's been up and down. Russell's play has been up and down this whole year. I have to decide whether I'm going to play Dak or not. I'm not going to play Dak this week. He's playing Minnesota. That's a tough matchup. Russell at home versus Carolina after what I saw from Carolina last week is a much more favorable matchup. So I'm going to stick with Russell again. If I lose again or if he does has another bad week again, then I'll seriously think about playing Dak heading into the playoffs. But that still remains to be seen. Going over to Jarge last week had a great showing from Tyrod, 20 points. Overall, super solid. David Johnson, I mean, we don't have to say too much about him. That's literally the best thing about Jarge's team, and he's the best running back, the fantasy running back in the league, and he put up 26 points. Makes me a little upset that I didn't draft him over Todd Gurley. Imagine if I had David Johnson on my team, too. Like, how I would be number one. I wouldn't have lost. No, I still would have lost last week, right? How much did I lose by? No, I might have beat him. Maybe not. I think I would have only had 10 more points. Never mind. Take that back.
Jordan would be winless, though.
Yeah, Jordan would be absolutely winless. 22 points had AB go for 30, and the Giants D to go for 22, as we talked about earlier. So, I mean, that's a tough break for Jarch. Jarch left Hightower on his bench for 17.5. I saw that he put him in the did he put him in his lineup? No, he did not. I'm not saying you should, but maybe I'm going to give you unsolicited and unbiased advice, Jordan. Think about starting Hightower. Don't let him go off on your bench again. David Johnson is playing the 26th ranked defense this week. Obviously, I'm very, very afraid of that. He's probably going to go for at least 20 again, which is pretty aggravating. Going over to my team this week, I've got 6 in the red versus 3 in the green. Obviously not favorable, but I got Russ facing Carolina, who's ranked 24th. He's got to do something for me this week. He has to. Broncos D versus Jacksonville. I'm predicting, fuck you, Brandon. I hate the fucking Broncos, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to predict 20 points from Broncos D.
Wow.
I can put a lock on that. Yeah, 20 points from the Broncos D, which is going to lead me to win. And Frank, is Andrew Luck playing this week or no? Has he been cleared?
I was looking at that with Duncan's matchup. It looks like he's kind of practicing, but I don't think he's exactly ready to play.
Well, I'm going to – Frank Gore lives and dies whether Luck plays or not. Luck plays, Gore gets his solid usual at least 10 to 15 points. If Luck doesn't play, then I'm fucked in that category. We'll see what happens. I think overall this is going to be actually fairly close. I think I might have a similar performance to last week, which scares me, especially as you're near the playoffs here. But if I can lock up one of those two buys, I think that helps me a lot. But in general, I think my power rankings, I mean, my position rankings are much higher than Jordan's. I've got me winning by 10 points, 110 to 100. It's not going to be throttled. Jordan's going to put up a good fight. But in general, I still think my team is better. I do want to go back to your point, though, about Jordan starting the Chargers defense. Great play, Jordan. Unbiased. I think that's incredible. And I've got some fun facts for you guys about Joey Bosa, actually.
Okay, I'm ready.
Did you know that in the first 7 games that Bosa has played, he has a total of 38 quarterback pressures? That's most by any player in the last decade. And to give a little context to that, do you think that Von Miller is a good pass rusher, yes or no?
Yes.
Von Miller is the closest, and he had 25 pressures over the last same amount of time in his first 7 games compared to Bosa, 38 to 25. So that foreboding, I think, a pretty solid future for Bosa. Also, the most total pressures of any player in the NFL in the past decade, same time frame, in 8 games is Joey Bosa. The most total pressures of any player in the NFL in the past 10 years after 8 games has been 34. Joey Bosa has 38 after his first 7 games. So who knows how many he'll have after this 8th game. So people keep talking about Dak. People keep talking about Elliott and how great they are. Don't get me wrong, they are great. And I think Zeke has a very solid argument for MVP, even though they'll probably give it to Brady again if they keep winning, which is fucking aggravating because he didn't even play the first 4 games. But you have to take a hard, long look at Bosa, even though the Chargers don't get any media coverage. You got to recognize that this kid is really, really fucking good. And if you and you guys are going to watch a Chargers game, make sure you pay attention to him when they're on defense.
Interesting. I did not know any of those facts, and they were very fun and informative. Thank you.
There you go.
My thoughts on the two teams this week. I really like your wide receivers this week, Jared. Mike Evans obviously is very, very good, as is Amari Cooper, and Jordan Matthews, when he's on his day, can be pretty good. I remember thinking earlier in the season that I really like Jordan's wide receiver trio, and then something happened, and all of a sudden they've all disappeared. I think I expected more out of Demaryius Thomas. He is the highest ranked receiver that Jordan has at 21. Steve Smith and Dez Bryant are both in the 40s. Dez Bryant obviously did miss 4 weeks of the season. I think if you account for his injury, I'm sure he would be maybe even higher up than Demaryius. He's averaging 9.2 to Demaryius's 12. So, again, that's still accounting for everything. So I'd have to actually do some math, which I'm not going to do. I just don't really remember like anything happening to his receivers. I know he traded away Macklin, and Macklin's been trash, and he got Will Fuller, and Will Fuller's been bad. He traded for Dez Bryant. I remember thinking something happened to Jordan's wide receivers. I'm going to have to look into that more. But I really like your receivers this week. And Jordan does have those tough opponent matchups with Terrence Westworld, Thomas Dez, and Dr. Robert Ford Kelly all going up against top half defenses. Thank you. I don't know. I'm also looking at Jordan's bench. If you could give some unsolicited, unbiased advice, Marvin Jones or 3TD Rob Kelly at flex this week?
I mean, don't listen to him. Star Hightower.
Interesting. So you're going choice none of the above. Fill in the blank. Thanks for helping me.
I'm not gonna divulge any more information to my opponent this week. I would like to win, and I would like some lockup. Who is Scott playing this week? I didn't do his matchup. Who's he playing?
Scott is playing. I need to go. I just did it 2 minutes ago. Scott is playing Duncan.
Oh, let's go. Okay, Duncan needs to have a big week, per usual. Wait, how many points did Duncan put last week? None of my guys that I did would play him. 116. All right, if he does that again and Scott has another soft week and the team exposes to be just as soft as he is, which I think it really is, then I'll lock up because I'm going to beat Jordan. So then I'll lock up that number one seed and I'll look good. Who is currently the number four seed of your standings playoff bracket? So currently it would be, I would still get a bye, but then I would play the winner of either Duncan or you. If I get that number one seed and none of the other seeds change, then it would either be Austin or Luke. Obviously, do not want to meet up with Luke anytime before the Natty. I would like to meet up with him in the Natty. I mean, I talked about it earlier in the season. Just another rematch. I can get my revenge. But I don't want to run into Duncan in the playoffs, too. I'd much rather play you or Austin in the playoffs, too, in my round two, to go to the third round. I guess, I don't know. It's probably still a little bit too early to worry about it. I just got to do what I need to do and win this week.
Yeah, I was going to ask you it was my one final question to Scott, and he even jumped ahead of it as well, but I was going to ask you as well. You guys are battling it out for the one seed. Now that you've looked and kind of thought through the bracket, do you really want the number one seed, or would you rather have the number two seed?
My question is, do seeds 3 through 5, our possible opponents in round two, how likely are their seeds to change?
It is possible if Austin loses and Fronik and Tim and myself all win, that Austin misses out on the playoffs. And so Luke would stay at number 4, but I would jump to 5, and then Tim would be number 6, assuming that Fronik doesn't catch him in points scored.
I would prefer that scenario than playing Austin. Even though Lawson's on a Lawson. We should call him that, Lawson.
Oh, no.
Even though Austin is on two-game losing streak, I would still rather play all three of you, any three of you, Fronik, or Tim, in the playoffs than his team. So I guess I do want to stay at the second. If Luke is locked in there at the fourth seed, then no matter what, he's still in that same bracket with the number one seed. I really don't want to have to face Luke unless I have to play him in the championship again. So I guess I want to stay where I'm at. Obviously, it just sounds better to be number one. But if Scott and I both lose this week and it stays the same way, but we finish with the same record, then I guess I'd be okay with that. I also don't want Scott to be bragging to me, but I would also really like if Scott got knocked out in round two, he just gets rolled by Luke, so I could play him in the final.
It's also very possible that you guys both lose, but you outscore him by 30, because that's about the difference that you guys have in points. Luke could also lose in his matchup. He is playing. Oh, I just did this matchup too. He is playing Andrew, and Andrew. He upset you last week, but again, that was on you having a bad week rather than him a good week. Luke could easily lose and be 7-6 and join Fronik, Tim, myself, and Austin. I mean, even Duncan can lose at 7-6, and it's just a cluster kind of thing going on. But Duncan scored so many points. Luke has scored so many points. It's very unlikely that they fall out of playoff range. I mean, the difference between Fronik and Luke that I looked up earlier is like 170 points. So at this point, I mean, Fronik's on the outside looking in. It would come down to Fronik beating Austin. And even at that point, I don't think it would get him in unless he outscored the crap out of Tim. And the difference between the two of them is 134.7 to 1289.3. So I can't do math like that in my head just in front of me. So, I mean, I don't know how possible it is. I think more than likely Austin stays in the playoffs, but I still think it's possible that he could miss out on the playoffs just by losing, because he's the third lowest scoring team in the league. So,
as it stands right now, and going back to what you said about Andrew, that was a good win last week. Don't let any of us take anything away from you. Solid win. I hope you keep trying and that you don't lose the consolation bracket. But as the playoff standings right now, I would be pretty okay with the way it is now. I would not mind meeting up with you in round two. And then I would take my chances with Boomer Bust Duncan, even though he would probably get his revenge on me for what happened back when we played in the regular season, than me matching up with either Luke or Austin on any given Sunday. So I guess I like where I'm at right now, but that doesn't mean I'm going to throw this week away just because of that. Like, I'm going to play my guys. I'm going to field the best lineup, and we'll see how the cards fall. It's gotten me this far, so we'll see what happens.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jared. Good stuff. Thank you for the fun facts and for the insight on your team.
Yeah, no problem. One last thing before you go. We've been talking, well, me and a couple of the other guys have been talking about it. I don't know if anyone has seen yet. Jordan hasn't posted it to the Fantasy Football page. But Frank Ocean and his hit song, Forrest Gump, is headlining Sasquatch this year.
That's that new Frank Ocean song, right?
Yeah, brand new. It's like charting number one right now. Really, really good song. I've been sending it to Jordan over and over again. Also, really good song off that same album, Novocaine. Anyway, no, Frank Ocean is headlining Sasquatch. So I know Jordan has bought his ticket. I think Connor and I are pretty much committed. So anyone that can hear my voice right now, let's make this thing happen. Let's all go. Let's get a big group together. People can pick each other up on the way up. Let's go party. Let's have a little Ducks reunion and go watch Frank Ocean.
Maybe. Okay. I don't know.
All right.
Probably not for me, but maybe.
We got 5 months. And it's only the festival is only 3 days this year instead of four, so you might even be able to survive it, Rick. And I think it would just be a blast.
I'll get back to you. Thanks for the PSA there, Jared.
All right, you're welcome. Good luck this week.
Thanks again for listening to the Semi Products Podcast. If you have any more questions about your own fantasy team, listen to Fantasy Football Today live at 8 a.m. Pacific right here in Eugene on 95.3 The Score, as well as on the CBS Sports app. The guys on the show will have all the information you need to help make the best decision to win your own fantasy matchup. It's the last week before the playoffs. If you're trying to lock up your league's number one seed or maybe the last spot in the playoffs, give the show a listen. Maybe their advice will give you just the exact help that you are looking for. Thanks again for listening. This has been the Semi Products Podcast.